The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
You're listening to The Talk, talk radio for the masses, here on WTBR-FM 89.7. And now, let's talk.
Or not.
We can talk.
We can if we want. Yes. We are here.
Hello.
It's Wednesday. Yep. You know what that means.
Time for The Talk in AEW.
We've been renewed for another year.
Yeah.
So both our shows will go on for another year.
Yay. We'll be there to haunt you.
And in studio, because we very seldom have them in studio, is Josh.
Hello.
Hey.
This is radio. Hey. You have to speak.
I said hello. Why are you guys yelling at me?
He's fine.
Yes, you had a long drive.
Yeah, he's like now a resident of Berkshire County.
Yes.
So that is
welcome
good.
To Berkshire County.
Welcome Thank to Berkshire you. County. Welcome to WTBR FM. you might be on the air more than you think.
Perhaps. I'm here to haunt you.
Yeah, hey, that's a good segue into what we are doing. Oh,
yes.
And we have to do this little thing. Monday was the 22nd anniversary of the events of 9/11.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we just wanted to put that out there. You never forget what happened September 11th, 2001.
No.
I was still in school. I remember watching it over the TV.
CNN.
Oh, they had it going in there.
In live, yeah.
On TV.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, they kind of sheltered us at Albany High. They didn't even show it. And the principal came over to the PA system first. You can go ahead and hear, it was a small plane crash at the World Trade Center. Okay, cool. Went ahead and went about our business. Nothing to worry about. It wasn't until the second plane hit the second tower that our principal comes over and goes, It's an apparent terrorist attack. Anybody that has family in the city, please go to the office. Please go ahead and call your family members. Anybody that wished to leave the high school at the time, they also had to go down to the office and go ahead and call their family to come and get them.
You were at the doctor's.
I was
still asleep when my phone started ringing off. My phone started ringing off the hook. It was our mother-in-law Fran,
may she rest in peace,
who said, "Are you watching TV?" No, I'm not even awake yet. Turn on the TV.
And where the blank is my daughter?
Turn on the TV. We're under attack. And where is my daughter? And I said, "Daughter's at the doctor, and the kids at school." And I turn on CNN, and there it is. The first plane hit the first tower, and I'm watching the second plane go into the second tower.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I get on the phone, and I call you.
Yes.
And, well, I call the school first and say, we're picking Jesse up.
Yep.
And then I call you and say, time for you to come home. You got to go get Jesse, and then come home.
Yeah, because the comment that you made to me, it wasn't a Cessna.
No, it wasn't a Cessna.
Because that's what they assumed the first time.
Yes, that's what we heard at the high, and that's assuming what you heard.
Yeah,
my first quarter was current events. So it's ironic that they would turn on the news right then and there, and we watched as the planes hit.
Oh, that's horrible. That had to be.
So the rest of the day, we spent together watching the events unfold on live on CNN at the time.
At that time, it was a family friend that I had ran into. Luckily, he turned around, he seen us and told us to get our blanks in the car, and he was going to drive us home. And he raced us home, and he turned around and he says, I know he wants you there, so get inside and don't leave his sight. So we did.
Yeah, because me and Mom were walking to go get and walking to go to the bus stop. And Al sees us walking, and he brings the car around. Sister and Al's get in the dang car, And, wow, that was... Yeah. It forever stays in your mind. It doesn't
because
leave.
At that time, the Pentagon had gotten hit.
Yeah, we were all watching that. Yeah. All right. Shifting gears
to more happier things.
In our continuing series from now until our show before Halloween of haunted places, and we've had some really weird ones on this show, and
yeah.
We continue to have very weird ones, and I think we have a couple of very weird ones, so who wants to rock out first?
You go first. Or I go first.
And Josh can just chime in whenever he feels like it.
Okay.
Just so he has some FaceTime on camera.
Mine's a bit long. Do you want me to ramble off?
Go ramble off. Ramble on.
All right. Mine is the Witch House in Salem, Massachusetts.
Ooh.
Yeah. This one was kind of. I got the information once again from our buddies. From Ghost Adventures. They were the first paranormal people to be allowed into...
Internationally
to be allowed into the building because it is an historical building. They don't want a lot of people just going inside there because of the fact that it is the original and they don't want it to be damaged. So
they don't want the wood to... decay and
so
exactly
there.
Yeah so but it happened in 1962, the biggest tragedy justice that happened between between June and September of that year. There was 19 women and men that were accused of witchcraft, and they were executed by hanging. It was Massachusetts part of that was Salem, Mass. Was founded in 1626. So that's
holy.
Yeah. It was among the first settlement in the new world. So with all
holy
the
fudge waffles.
Yeah, and they turn on. They says
I didn't know it was that old.
Yeah, because of the fact of what happened there with the witch hunts and everything, as they call them, with the witch trials. This is one of the biggest stains on Salem, Massachusetts ever. I mean, it's still to this day. You talk about it, that's the first thing that pops up, not the history of everything else that happened. It's the witch trials that shocks your mind.
Well, if you look on the emblem for the police, it has a witch riding a broom.
Yes.
It's literally it's orange and black and a witch riding a broom.
And the funniest thing about it is there is a giant bronze statue of one of our favorite witches.
Really?
Yes. Great big crested moon. She's riding on a broom and she's facing.
Melissa Joan Hart?
No. Bewitched.
Bewitched Samantha. They have
Elizabeth Montgomery.
Yes,
they have a statue. Yes. They have a statue of Samantha there.
As a matter of fact, once again, I have the episode of Ghost Hunters, and there's exact standing there right in front of or behind her, peering into it.
So my question now is, why do we have a statue of Elizabeth Montgomery in Salem? I would figure
Salem, like, Melissa Jones.
Well, okay, so, history. But why her? Why not Melissa Joan Hart? Or
because
she was the first witch
on television to have a positive look.
Yes, they have everything. They have, if you go to the one part of the store, they have this one really, really cool store Zach went into, and they walked into it, and he had picked up this potion, and the potion had turned, and she turned around, she says, no, you don't want to take that now unless you want to bring out your inner tramp.
It was a lust potion.
Yeah, that's what she...
It was a potion to increase your lust.
Yes, yes. So, okay, getting back to the thing. The very first person that was executed by hanging, her name was Elizabeth Paris. And she was the daughter of, you're not going to believe this, the Reverend Samuel Paris.
Yeah.
Was wrongly, she was wrongfully executed as souls of the raging paranormal and crazies that was going on. And they turned around and they said that she was throwing fits and she was hiding under tables and furniture, just acting really bizarre. And they didn't know why. They turned around and they said that the doctor that was attending to everyone's name was Samuel Griggs. And he was the only physician at the time that was taking care of everybody. He had seen that she was acting this way. And when he turned around, he said that he said she was perfectly normal, but she had been bewitched.
Clearly.
So basically, that's what he had sent. He said absolutely nothing. And they turned around and they said that, unfortunately...
Well, think about it. Back in the day, anything that was considered unusual was bewitching.
Yes, yes. And they turned around and they said that soon others were acting peculiar as well in there as well. And they said that there was something in the air, that they had planted a horrible seed of evil that was happening with everyone. They turn around and they says, this is what they decided to come up with. You're not going to believe this, and it's really sickening. One of the local villagers at the time, her name is Mary Sybil, Sibley or something like that, approached the Paris family servant, Tibblets, and she turned around. She opposed a rather sick ritual and way to find out if the girls were truly bewitched. And they would mix the urine.
Oh, you mix the urine of the diseased with flour and stuff, and it told you which person was sending the hex to the person. Well, and so they used witchcraft to find a witch.
That's like the original, they would take holy dirt and mix it with holy water. And if you rejected the holy potion, whatever they called it then, you were clearly a witch. And if you kept it down and didn't get sick, well, then you were cured of whatever you Elman. Were cursed with.
You're not going to...
I did not know that. Thank
this
you.
Is... As you guys said, unfortunately, this is what they did. They baked it in the bread, and then they fed it to the family dog. The dog started, they wanted to watch the dog for strangely actions and limping, and if the dog had, you know, started acting crazy. And unfortunately, the dog screamed in pain because it made the dog very, very sick.
Gee, I wonder why.
I mean, I cannot believe they actually fed this poor dog urine cake.
I want to know what the dog did to them.
Exactly.
Thank you. What kind of punishment did a poor dog do?
I mean, it's pretty sickening. But once the Reverend had found out about it, he had spoken to everyone, and the judge found out about it and had the girl arrested because they turned around and they says, exactly as you said, you know, witchcraft for witchcraft, it doesn't justify.
Yeah, the irony of using witchcraft to find witches.
That's exactly what they
said. The percentage of witches that they actually executed far is so minuscule compared to the amount of people that were executed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think the numbers were only like 8% were actually practicing witchcraft. And
wow.
Actually,
nobody else was.
Really?
Actually, she was the... because Betty Paris, she was the first one to overcome the incident. The first one to actually be hung. Her name was Bridget Bishop. She was the first one. And she was an owner and a proprietor of two bars, which today they turn around and they say that the two bar, that one of the bars is actually haunting, is haunted by Bridget, and they have seen specters of her in the place. They had crews in there working, and they were literally throwing, she was throwing boxes at them. She was doing all kinds of things. Well, once again,
I don't blame
she was
her.
Trying to, well, no, you don't understand. She was a trollop.
A lady of loose morals.
Yes, she was, very much so. A lot of the women hated her in Salem, Massachusetts, because she would do her beauty and things while the gentlemen were coming into the bar.
Hey, that was her thing, you know?
And unfortunately, she had really twisted the upsets to this Mary thing. She was the one who turned around and said that she was truly a witch, and she's the one who testified against her.
Well, think about it. If you weren't in the inner circle, or you were different, or your skin was a little bit darker than their one,
you have land
witch.
That I want, or something that I
exactly.
want.
Exactly. What they did, you're not going to believe
clearly
this.
Clearly, you're a witch.
Yeah. And what, what me, Dad, and Tabby, and Jessica watched, apparently, they had the sheriff back, well, what they would call the sheriff, I guess, or however. He was going around from home to home as these people were being arrested and thrown into these coffin-like cells that were full of rats and urination and everything. And it was just...
He was going through people's stuff and taking anything of value while they were in jail.
Anything of value, it seemed to be a profit for him.
Yep.
Not a profit of... You know, all these poor souls, it was a profit of whatever he could line his pockets with, which was truly disgusting, I thought. I mean, it was horrible. I mean, they took a man, and rather than hang him, they literally stripped him down, put rocks on him, wanted him to confess.
Well, that's majority of... your trials in general.
They put
if
a 4-year-old in.
You were still being sentenced to death, but at least if you confessed, your soul would be clean.
Yeah.
But when the case of Giles Corey, it's really messed up because imagine being crushed to death by stones and constantly being asked, will you confess more stones?
Exactly.
I actually have
that's
the
what,
most
that's what
respect
he was yelling.
For that man.
Yeah.
Because
thank
of
you.
Obvious reasons.
He did not.
Yes, and he was the one
the
to curse.
The whole reason Giles Corey was being prosecuted to begin with was because of his land. If he had confessed, he would have lost his land. His wife and children would have also been prosecuted.
Exactly.
So instead of confessing, more stones. He did it to save his land and did it to save his wife and kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
But his wife got hung 3 days later.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
On the same pretenses.
Yes. Yeah, it was truly
shocking. Yes, and he was the one that went ahead and cursed Salem.
Yes.
And the thing is, every person that holds the held the office of sheriff went ahead and had heart trouble.
Yep.
And you want to know the worst part? They had killed a woman while she was pregnant.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
May God have pity on their souls for what they had done. I mean, how in the world could you kill a pregnant woman? That's just so heartbreaking.
All in the name of land, money talks.
Oh yeah,
even
exactly.
back then.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's horrible.
Can you imagine? Okay, 300 years ago, we were hanging witches.
Yeah.
At the Salem witch trials.
Yes.
300 years later, in Salem. We have this whole festival devoted to the Salem witch trials.
Yes.
Well, I guarantee the
that's
Puritans
ironic,
are
isn't it?
Like turning in their graves. You're all witches.
You're all sinners. You're all sinners.
May you burn in hell.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's what, you know. And then you got these people who are practicing witch and witchcraft. That's the first thing they're going, oh my God, may they all die in, you know, in hell and everything. Give me a break.
What was it, the fact that I think one or two of the people that were hung for witchcraft were apothecaries?
Yes.
Apothecaries people are pharmacists.
Yes.
But
so imagine all the pharmacies that are floating around the country.
I was going to get a segue into that. Herbalism, your modern herbalism would have been classified as witchcraft back then.
Exactly.
Herbalism, aromatherapy, crystal healing.
Yeah, right down to smoking of the tobacco leaves. It's all classified under witchcraft.
Could you imagine what they would be thinking of when the, because marijuana is legal in Massachusetts?
That would have been a real thing.
I'm serious. Try it.
Hopefully the lights won't start flickering here like they usually do when we talk about this. So I think the studio's haunted.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget it. I have one of the...
Hi, Grandpa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great. You bring him into the studio with you.
Yes, I do.
For those on WTBR-FM who can't see what we're doing here, because we're simulcast, she's got her little... pendant on that has her
keepsake pendant
that has her father's ashes in them, and she brought them into the studio.
I promise.
With studio that we know around this time of year, the lights start flickering for no reason.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. And on the pendant, it says, "Always in my heart," and it's my dad.
There. So, shout out to Ronald. You made it into WTBR and PCTV.
Yep.
Did you wrap your little thing?
Yes, I did.
Are you done? Okay.
It's Jesse's
Moving
turn.
On.
Since we all knew about it, I just let them go because they filled in the spots that were missing. So I deeply thank you.
That's why we bring Josh here, because he's probably studied all this and can give us more aspects on
it
than...
Also, you got to remember, he's also...
in general.
You got to remember one thing. He's married to the other witch.
Sabrina?
No, my baby sister. Your
baby,
my baby sister,
huh? That's a conversation off air in and of itself.
Well, my baby sister gave me the necklace. I meant to say my baby daughter is his wife,
Tabitha. Yes, she's named after a witch, Tabitha.
Yeah, who's named after the little kid from Bewitched.
Yeah, she was.
All right, so you got... something with the 6 minutes we have left in the program.
Yes, I have a little history on the Dakota.
The Dakota.
Of course, Dakota's famous for its resin.
It got really
live resident.
It got really famous on December 8th, 1980.
Yeah, unfortunately. Of course, the home of... John
and Yoko Ono.
Yoko Ono.
Which, by the way, Yoko is selling that.
Yeah.
Because she wants to move to Florida, where she wants to move to John's mansion that he has in Florida. So she's, after all these years, she's selling off the apartments up in the Dakota.
And the thing is, and the funniest thing is It was known even when John was alive for being haunted. Apparently, John and Yoko had a little visitor that lived in their apartment with them. She would go, according to the story, she would go ahead and mess with John's guitars. He would go ahead and randomly play the tape deck that he had for recording at the house. The tape deck would randomly turn on and record stuff in the house.
And then John would put it on the record.
Yeah. And or he'd keep the tape. He was actually interested in paranormal, and he agreed, him and Yoko agreed to have a medium go through the house and see who was living with them. Kind of find out it was a little girl. Kind of find out it was a little girl. And the funny thing is the person that sold them the apartment, because the you know, you have to go ahead and the person that sold them the apartment, right, was Jessica Ryan, the who was the wife of Robert Ryan, the actor from Dirty Dozens. The only thing, though, is she went ahead and she passed away in the apartment. Guess who decided to go ahead and be a resident in Yoko and John's apartment with them?
George Harrison?
Jesse. Jesse and Ryan apparently decided to stay because she apparently liked the apartment, according to the medium.
She didn't want to leave.
I like the apartment too. John and Yoko living there.
But yes, it's known for its horrible history of December 8th, 1980. Apparently, according to many reports, John never left the apartment.
That was going to be the next question. And you beat me to it, because I was kind of wondering, after John's murder in 1980, if he actually is floating around the Dakota all these years.
His ghost has been seen not only walking his and Yoko's apartment, but he's also been seen in the archway.
If I remember correctly, you could also hear faint piano playing.
Yeah, you could. You could hear
Can you imagine the next people that get John Yoko's apartment after Yoko moves to Florida and John's still haunting the apartment?
Oh.
And I never thought that Yoko would ever move out of the Dakota.
Never did,
because,
I.
You know, the apartment overlooks Strawberry Fields.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
John's plaque is, and little spoiler, where also John's laid to rest.
Yeah.
And I would never have ever thought that Yoko would have left the Dakota and left that behind.
Yeah,
me too. Somebody asked Sean, and Sean went ahead and made a comment. It's not safe for mother to have her walks anymore. Because of the gun violence and everything, it's not safe for her to be there anymore.
Okay. I don't know where to go from there. We got about a minute and a half.
But apparently she still wants to come back and forth for visits, of course, to see John.
See John, like everybody else does.
Yes.
We all went and saw John. We saw Yoko.
Yes.
We ran into Yoko in 2013 and talked to Yoko.
Yes.
You actually talked to Yoko.
I did. Yes.
Yeah, you kind of froze.
No, because I talked to Yoko. No. I talked to Yoko in 1993. When John's movie came out at the Man's Chinese Theater, we walked, me and Yoko and some other people walked from John's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame by Capitol Records all the way down to the Cinerama Dome.
Okay.
So we had that little walk, and then she actually let me, you know, brought me in to see the movie with him, and we sat there for 2.5 hours watching the movie with Sean and Julian. And Yoko. So I've done my bit with Yoko Ono.
Yeah, and the thing.
So it was only fair that somebody else gets to talk to Yoko Ono.
And the thing is you were going.
I think it was just the fact that where it was that you were more in shock than anything.
Yeah. The idea of actually being, and we gotta really go here quick. The idea of being in Strawberry Fields and having lunch in Strawberry Fields, and here comes Yoko walking the same path that she did with John. We gotta go. We are out of time.
have a great day, everyone.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.